You're on Fab FM. Glad you could be with us. And look, I've been a Roy Orbison fan for as long as I can remember. I first listened to Roy Orbison when a schoolmate, Brian Tierney, bought a single of Roy's and invited me to listen to it on his radiogram. Haven't said that word for a while. Look, I was immediately hooked. Roy was a musician's musician and singer's singer. People like Bruce Springsteen, for example, are in awe of Roy, like so many of his generation and even younger. Roy was special. And now the brand new album, A Love So Beautiful, put out by Roy's boys, is on the market. This album features archival vocal recordings of Roy accompanied by new orchestral arrangements by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. It also features a duet with English country duo Ward Thomas, but we'll get back to that later. But firstly, I'd like to introduce my friend and rock historian Ralph Hadzik, who knew Roy well and, like me, reveres this amazing performer. Welcome to Fab FM, Ralph.
Well, you know, fabulous to be here.
Well, A Love So Beautiful is Roy Orbison's highest charting album for almost 30 years. Can you believe that, Ralph?
You know, Roy would just love to have seen that. He always believed he had another number one in him. And that's why he never got on the hustings with Dick Clark. You know, Dick used to have these cavalcade of stars. And he'd say, Roy, you got to come out with us. And Roy would go, nope. And rather than go across America and sing three of his hits, he would go to England, he'd come to Australia, he'd go to Japan, go to Holland, where he was a headline performer.
Before we discuss the album, Roy died, of course, on December 6, 1988. Where do you place Roy Orbison in the music world?
Look, I'm a little bit biased, so just a little bit above number one. It's interesting to think the influence that he had on so many people, and in your introduction you talked about Springsteen and those guys. But, you know, the Beatles were his backing band in 1963, touring the UK. And in those days, the headliner was always on first, and then everybody else came so that people could run home on a cold English winter's night. And so there might be three people left in the crowd when the last act came on. So nobody. And John Lennon became famous for saying, I'm not following him. We're going out first. And they said to Roy, you're going to go out second because the Beatles are going to come out first. And he said, what's a Beatle? And John Lennon said, I am.
No, he was certainly unique. Tell us about Roy's boys who play on this actual album we're going to hear.
Yeah, they do. And so Wesley is Roy's son from his first marriage. He was his surviving son. Two of his sons, of course, perished in 1968 in a house fire. And so you got Alex and Roy Jr., which are his sons from his collaboration with Barbara Orbison, his second wife, who really reinvented Roy and believed in him to the point that she made sure that he achieved what he always wanted to achieve, and that was that next number one hit.
We're talking to rock historian Ralph Hadzik on Fab FM about Roy Orbison's latest album featuring the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Now, okay, this album, A Love So Beautiful with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, is extraordinary. It really is an extraordinary offering. Tell us a little bit about, why do you think it came about?
Two reasons. One, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra did an album with Elvis Presley. Actually, they did two albums with Elvis Presley, and they toured with Elvis on big screen, being backed by an orchestra as they moved around the world. And so somebody said, wouldn't it be a great idea if we did this with Orbison? Because Orbison always had phenomenal backing. He was one of the first guys to have strings. You know, Buddy Holly was the guy that first came out with strings on a rock and roll record. And with Orbison, they just packed everything into the studio. For his sons now to pay tribute to their dad by being able to enhance, how do you make something perfect even more perfect?
Absolutely. Good question. Well, the first track we look at is Running Scared, and the shorter intro is replaced by quite a classical beginning. I mean, there would be purists out there, Ralph, who say, look, the original is always the best. What do you think the orchestra brings to this track, and indeed all the tracks on this album?
Well, You know, I'm one of the great purists, and for all of those reasons, I thought, how can this be enhanced? And what it's done, if you ever saw Roy in his last couple of years in concert, when he did Running Scared, that was usually his
the last song.
The last song. In Australia, it was always Pretty Woman. But in the U.S. and in Europe, it was always Running Scared. And he would do the last 12 bars, and he would take that last note up just another octave and another octave. So he would do it three times. And when he was really feeling good, he just looked towards the band, and he would just indicate with his hand, and they were going to go again. And it was just such an awesome experience. I don't like using the word awesome much because it's a much bandied around term these days. You know, kids say, oh, that's awesome. But this was actually, you were in awe of the fact that he could take it that next level. With this orchestration coming in the intros of the songs, it builds the drama because you know what's coming.
Just run and scare. Each place we go, so afraid that he might show. Yeah.
That's Running Scared, a song written by Roy and his longtime co-writer Joe Melson, and was released on Monument Records in March 1961. Talking about Roy Orbison's latest album featuring the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, produced by Don Reedman and Nick Patrick. Now, the next track, It's Over, was composed by Roy Orbison and Bill Dees, and the song was released in 1964 and described at the time as an operatic ballad. So, Ralph, the new edition of the Royal Philharmonic fits this one pretty well.
Oh, it really does. And, you know, Orbison broke the mold with his songwriting. Up until, 1967-68, it was always verse, chorus, verse, chorus. Orbison threw all of that out the window, going back to Only the Lonely in 1960, where he would just have these beautiful operatic numbers that would crescendo with that ridiculous high C, which wasn't falsetto. He took it to high C. How he did it, he didn't even know at the time that he was capable of it. And just when they used to record back in the 60s, they only had two-track, three-track machines. So you had the entire orchestra in the studio, and they'd pack Roy in the corner of the studio and get the coat rack and then put all the coats on the coat rack, and he'd be singing to the wall. He'd be in the corner of the wall. And they'd only find out on the playback what had happened. Because otherwise, if they didn't have that coat rack there, all of the instruments would have bled into his vocal track and would have drowned him out. So, you know, now you've got the technology where you can bring this orchestra in and just, it enhances perfection.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. Baby doesn't want you anymore.
It's Over There from Roy Orbison off this amazing album. Now, Only the Lonely, released in 1960, another collaboration by Roy and Joe.
Yeah, now, Roy really, his son years weren't as productive as he would have liked. And he did sell the Everly Brothers the song Claudette, which was the B-side of All I Have to Do Is Dream. Now, his royalty for that in 1956 was $26,000. And so he was able to live off of that 26 grand for the next 4 years. And he was running out of money. They were eating fried bread and dripping. And they were wondering what they were going to do. So he went to Nashville and he wanted to record something at RCA. But Elvis had booked the studio for 3 days. He'd just gone to bed. It was 6 a.m. And so they said, you can't use the studio. So he saw the Everly Brothers and he said, look, I've got this song I want to sell you. And they went, oh, look, we just got this new thing called Wake Up Little Susie. And, you know, and so, no, thank you very much, but no thanks. And so he took Only the Lonely. And Fred Foster from Monument said there wasn't enough there. So he had another song called Come Back to Me, My Love, which started off by going dum, 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 dummy doo. So they married the two songs together and they recorded Only the Lonely. And that was Roy's first U.S. number one. Dum, 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 dummy doo.
Only the Lonely there. Now we come to Crying, probably the song Roy Orbison is most identified with. Once again, an Orbison-Melton composition. And Crying, well, what do you say about that song? It's almost the perfect song.
Look, it is. And I thought it couldn't get any better when he and Katie Lang did it together. And now with the orchestra, you got to listen to it.
And also with Crying, they didn't smother the song with strings. Just enough, I reckon.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I'd been crying. So long, left me standing all alone, alone and crying, 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 crying. It's hard to understand, but the touch of your hand can start me crying.
Crying there, it gives me goosebumps every time. We're talking to rock historian Ralph Hadzik on Fab FM about Roy Orbison's latest album featuring the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Now, the track I Drove All Night features an English country music duo, Catherine and Lizzie Ward Thomas. Now, they're 23-year-old twin sisters, Catherine and Lizzie, and they're producing modern country music with a UK twist. I wonder, Ralph, how these kids got the gig.
Well, there's a couple of things that jump out at you. One is Garth Brooks was more popular in Ireland than U2. You know, so the United Kingdom and Ireland have always looked at country music as something that's special. I can't help but think that Jeff Lynne has got something to do with all of this. Jeff Lynne, who was one of the Traveling Wilburys, who helped produce the Mystery Girl album, who wrote Roy's last number one hit, You Got It. And they were so creative, and they took everything back from the Wilburys when they recorded it in L.A. He and George Harrison took it back to England and added and countrified it and did various things. So, you know, country music is a big thing in the U.K., and I just think Jeff Lynne had something to do with it. And one day we'll call him up and we'll find out exactly what he did.
And rock historian Ralph Hadzik on Fab FM. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we'll play the final song of this wonderful album. I mean, there's 17 tracks in all. We've only handled a handful, really. So we'll take this break and then back shortly.
Claire is no pilot, but her radar can see a jet from 200 kilometres. Liam was a high flyer at school, but he never expected a trade apprenticeship working with turbojets. Pat is no vice admiral, but his designs help our Navy ships push new limits. None of them are in the Defence Force, but they're shaping their careers to make the most of the Australian Government's $200 billion investment in defence capability. Discover your career pathway in the workforce behind the Defence Force. Visit defenceindustry.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra. Spoken by M. Robinson.
Fab FM.
Talking to rock historian Ralph Hadzik, I'm Paul Makin, and it's all about this new Philharmonic album of Roy Orbison, all the wonderful songs of Roy, but put with strings, added strings, layers of new music. It is just fabulous, put together by Roy's boys. Well, Ralph, we come to the title track, A Love So Beautiful. This, talk about goosebumps, this one always gets me. And by the way, as I mentioned, we've only looked at six of the songs out of 17 tracks. There's other songs like Blue Angel, In Dreams, Dream Baby, Oh Pretty Woman. Ralph, we're going out on this track in full. This is one of my favourite Orbison songs, Love So Beautiful. Of course, written by Jeff Lynne, and Roy off their Mystery Girl album originally. Now, Mystery Girl's an interesting one, and I want people to listen to Roy at the very beginning because he says, a summer sun.
Yep.
Now, why did he say a summer sun?
You know, he did have a bridge, as in a bridge denture, and it was bothering him, so he took it out. So any of those sort of things that he did with the S's right there, he had trouble enunciating. And when they laid those tracks down, those vocals, without any instrumentation, Roy died before they could redo them. So they had to go with what they did in A Love So Beautiful and She's a Mystery to Me.
Okay, Ralph Hadzik, thank you so much for dropping by and talking with us about this extraordinary album.
Well, thank you for having me. I just love to share Orbison stories.
Okay, and I'm sure we'll have you back on Fab FM talking about Roy and lots of other artists because your knowledge is just unbelievable.
Look forward to it.
In fact, Ralph is my phone-a-friend. Whenever I'm anywhere we want to dispute, I don't go to Google, I go to Ralph. Anyway, here it is, A Love So Beautiful, Roy Orbison and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.